Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. We are in studio here in the beautiful YQR, Regina, Saskatchewan. I'm your host, Rod Peterson, if you couldn't tell by the name of the program. Hope everybody's doing fine. Welcome to the warm-up. Darren DuPont joins me, my Robin Quivers, my Paul Schaefer, here on set. How you doing, Dupes?
I'm good.
Wasn't that fun last night at the Riot
game?
I had
a blast.
Yeah,
it was a blast.
Good. We're going to get into that. You see the smiling, lovely talent to Darren DuPont's left side, Chris Getzlaf, soon-to-be Ryder Hall of Famer. How you doing, Getz?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be in studio here at the new spot.
Yeah, I got a question for you before we go any further. Darian Durant, all your real close guys from the locker room call you Getty. I always thought that was a little strange, but your brother Ryan Getzlaf goes by Getz. I've never known what to call you. What do you prefer?
Honestly, it just depends where I am. I mean, a lot of times growing up, I was called Getz a lot as well.
But that doesn't bother you?
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
No. I mean, Chris is such a common name, so, I mean, the majority of my friends growing up didn't really matter. You were almost always calling each other by your last name or a version of your last name. So, it was mostly Getz, and then more so once I got into professional football is kind of when Getty really took over.
All right, so, okay. I just figured that maybe you were offended that your brother was Getz, so you had to be something else. But if you're good with that, then we're good.
Oh, no. If we got the same nickname, that's fine with me, too.
Okay, good, so, yeah. Good. So, obviously, here's the wonderful thing about Chris Getzlaf. Well, there are many wonderful things, but he will talk hockey. He will talk football. We'll talk about a lot of things. And here in the warm-up, I want to tell you what we're going to talk about tonight. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers knocked off the Rough Riders last night, 35-29. I enjoyed the game. The Greeks at Starbucks this morning, I asked them their take on the game. Thumbs up on the Rider performance last night in the game, even though it was a loss. The fun thing, though, that we will get into, Darren, Riders getting trolled hard by the Bombers for not live streaming the game. If you're a Twitter person and you enjoy that, the Bombers just hard. And on slow Wi-Fi in the stadium, too. Like, the Bombers are all over the Riders this morning.
It started with Willie Jefferson, I think, on Twitter, right?
Right.
I mean, why isn't it live streaming? He was not there, so he wanted to watch the game, clearly. But, it's preseason for everybody, so maybe they wanted to work the kinks out.
I don't know. I guess. We'll get into that down the line. They're getting, well, 3-down nation, and Daryl Davis writing a column that the Riders did the right thing by not live streaming. Don't give away your product for free. Look what happened to the newspaper industry. Sorry, Daryl, but pro football and the newspaper industry, slightly different. I don't think pro football is going away anytime soon. Newspapers, different story. Not fan friendly, not to live stream the game, but it's their team. They can do what they want. Stanley Cup final last night, game 5. The Bruins are livid. Missed call. Our good Regina boy, Tyler Bozak, got away with a trip. Getz, did you see the highlight at all?
I actually haven't even seen the highlight, but I saw a little bit of the backlash going on social media this morning.
Big time backlash. So here's my Rod's rant really early on in this one. So I get where the Bruins are coming from. It was the game-winning goal by David Perron. In about 15 to 20 seconds before the goal went in, Bozak trips a guy in the corner. And me being a Bozy fan, as are you, I'm watching this from a Blues lens because I want them to win, and I saw the highlight. I'm like, that's a trip. Like, they missed it. So the Bruins are livid, and I would normally say, hey, mentally tough, strong teams don't deal with, you know, get past officiating and bad calls. It's the Stanley Cup final. It's game 5. You can't have that stuff going on. But I will just say this. 3 years ago, I'm calling the Pats Rebels conference semifinal in Red Deer. It was one of the greatest times of my life, flying back and forth on the Pats owner's plane to call the game on TV. It was so much fun. But game 7, game-winning goal in the Red Deer Centrium second period, a Pats goal gets called back because of an obstruction penalty a minute before the goal was scored. They review it, and they take the goal off the board. I'm like, you can't do that. That's not in the rule book. Oh, yes, it is in the WHL. No, it's not. They pride themselves on copying the same rule book as the National Hockey League. Well, last night, if that rule applied, they would have rolled back the tape, called the trip and the goal wouldn't have counted. But that's the difference between the WHL, which sometimes should be called the Sutter Hockey League. I'm just saying, do the Bruins have a point in being so upset, Chris, at this time of the year that they get jobbed on the game-winning goal?
I mean, I think that in any professional sport, when you're playing a game of that magnitude, if you have a call that's that meaningful to the game and that's the result, I mean, yeah, they can always look back and say, we had this opportunity, we had that opportunity to take advantage in the game. But that was a defining moment that possibly, obviously flipped the series, you know, going back to St. Louis now.
Right.
So, I mean, it's no different than the New Orleans Saints last year in the NFL, NFC conference.
The blown pass interference in the conference championship game. Yes.
Right. I mean, and I mean, that one specifically, I mean, that was the game. Like, if it's called, they can pretty much down the ball, kick field goal.
I guess the funny thing is, here we are in 2019 with video review being as advanced as it's ever been, and they're blowing games. How embarrassing for the National Hockey League and the National Football League, and it actually hasn't even happened in the CFL yet. By the way, so to the Rider topic, that's where we will make our hay as this show gets off the ground, the Rod Peterson Show. Coming up, Chris Getzlaff in studio to be joined by Jim Hobson here, the former Rider president, going to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. The sports doctor, Dave Patrician, is in town from Winnipeg. He'll be with us on set in his Bomber jersey. He is the parade marshal for the Grey Cup Parade in Winnipeg, end of November this year. Humboldt Broncos head coach and general manager Scott Barney will be with us on the set. The Barn Dog, the former LA King second round pick, former LA King and Atlanta Thrasher, head coach of the Humboldt Broncos. That's where we'll delve into the hockey discussion real deep. And Arash Madani will join us ahead of game four of the NBA Finals, with the Raptors up 2-1 heading into game four tonight. So, Chris, the game last night. I said the Greeks thumbs up from the Regina coffee community at the Starbucks this morning. What did you think on the Riders' performance last night?
I honestly thought they played pretty well. I mean, all phases of the game, you know, had their ups and downs, but I think for the most part they played pretty darn good. Offense was moving the ball. You know, there wasn't, points were hard to come by early for both teams, but they were still moving the ball down the field and creating opportunities. You know, I mean, Zach threw a pretty bad pick kind of early on, but outside of that, I thought he was pretty clear sailing, made some good throws, threw a couple touchdown passes. I think it looked good.
Me too.
Yeah, Oops. A couple of takeaways. Yeah, that Zach overcoming the early pick, I think, was really big, because that could have rattled him. And I know fans were a little bit thinking, oh, what are we going to do if Zach's not playing well, right? But he overcame that, played pretty well. I liked Naaman. He had a confident game. And he was big, not just catching passes, but catching second down passes, converting on second down, and then the touchdown too. So I thought that was really big. He needs to have a big year and have confidence. That was big. And the fans love John Ryan. We learned that in a big way. He comes out for his first punt, and it's into the end zone for a single point. It was a big boom moment that the fans got to see.
Where did you watch the game from, Getz?
I bounced around a couple spots, but I was mostly sitting outside watching the game around the 10-yard line, and then I spent one quarter in the alumni lounge.
So we're going to talk about the receivers in a minute. I just want to take you through my night. If you check my Instagram story at Rod Peterson Official, DuPont and I rolled up to the Regina Rifles Canadian Armed Forces tailgate party, and I wanted to get some shots from there. Only problem, there was nobody there. So I said to my friends with the soldiers, I said, where is everybody? And they said, well, I guess we didn't promote it enough. So this is us promoting it before every game.
Can we shout out the burger place?
Bon Burger.
That pizza burger we had. And she is such a fan of this show. And so she's going to come by one day and bring us lunch.
At Bon Burger. But yeah, imagine a homemade pizza or a homemade burger with pizza sauce, matzo sauce, mushrooms, and mozzarella. On a hamburger.
Yeah, sounds delicious.
That's unbelievable. Bon Burger. So anyways, they had face painting. They had desserts. They had, what was the beer? I don't drink anymore.
District
Beer Brewing. Yeah, so yeah. I can't. So I didn't take part in that. But 2 hours before every Rider home game, right at the Armories, the money goes to the officers' mess, which is their lounge for the guys and gals when they get off their shift with the Canadian Armed Forces. So anyways, do that. So then we roll into the stadium, sit in my seats, which is right where the tunnel, they're good seats. But my wife was sitting on the other side, and she's right at midfield on the sunny side.
Better seats.
They're better seats. So we went over and sat with her. So that's why I'm setting the stage for this. I'm watching the John Ryan first punt. It's like they killed the lights and they were waving glow sticks. People were just like, ooh. They were just mesmerized, right? Did you notice that? Just the reaction of people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the reactions, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, a local guy who's played that many years of professional sport, won a Super Bowl, hometown guy, does all the right things in the community, comes back, and he's got a leg. I mean, he still booms the ball. So, yeah, even with it being a single and, you know, chances are he probably wasn't exactly trying to do that. I mean, the crowd being that much into it, I love it.
Yeah, I think it was a little deeper than they might have wanted. However, when the Riders were backed up in the third quarter, he let the big dog eat. Like, he corked one. And at the end, I looked at the stat sheet. It was 49.3 yard average. We're getting a little closer to what John's able to do because it was 39.3 last week in Calgary. And he was criticized for that. But the receivers, Naaman Roosevelt was Naaman Roosevelt. He was outstanding. But who cares what I think? What did you think of the Rider receivers last night?
Overall, I mean, it looked like guys were in the right places. I mean, that's, you know, the biggest thing when you're running an offense is that you need everybody on the same page so that the quarterback can go through his reads properly, and it makes the game a lot easier. I think Naaman definitely stood out, as Naaman does. I mean, he catches the ball fantastic. He runs good routes, so he made some big plays. The only other guy that really, I think, really stood out was Mick Roberts.
88.
He was running well. He was running strong, and the few catches that he had, strong hands. He went up, got it, stuck the ball, and that's what you want to see out of a receiver. So his one catch down the sideline there, caught it, was able to bust a few more for a little yak there when there's multiple guys around him. So
he looks impressive. Like he's ready to start.
He does. Right. He looks like he's ready to start based on you know, that
small sample size right there. Yeah. Our daily poll, our Thursday poll was, what has you more jacked, the NBA Finals or the Stanley Cup Final? And it was 77% runaway NBA Finals, which I get. As I said yesterday, Getz, if I had to leave Regina to go to Tibet and live in a cave for a month, and I didn't know who was going to win either series, I got to know how this turns out for the Raptors. I got to know. I don't really care about Blues Bruins compared to that. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. 77% more jacked around here for the NBA Finals. Today's poll question from our associate producer, Clark Monroe, is, did Isaac Harker earn a spot on this team last night? And so far, I don't know how many votes there are, but 100% say yes. So I'm watching the game with DuPont right beside my wife on the other side, and I couldn't believe the amount of plays that Harker was getting. And then I kind of sat back at and said, I see what they're doing. They're giving him all the rope to either climb the rope or hang himself. And he climbed the rope. And when the cuts are made tomorrow, I think that David Watford's name's going to be on them. He wasn't as great in Calgary. I don't know if you watched the Calgary game or not. It looks like Harker, who actually I had rated ahead of Watford in the Calgary game last night, Harker looks like he made the team.
Yeah, I mean, he made some throws, made some plays. I mean, Watford didn't even get in last night.
Nope, not that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if that's a telling sign. That's either, it's one of two things. It's either that he already had that spot solidified, right, or that he was right on the edge and they wanted to see what the other guy did. And if he embraced the moment, then that was going to be the guy. So we're going to have to see what happens. But I thought Harker played well.
Yeah, that's tough. And we talked about that last night when we were sitting watching the game. It's like he's going to lose his job and he's not even going to get a chance to play. But they've seen enough from last year, obviously, and they know what they have in him. So, yeah, Harker looked really, really good. And that for me was a lot of confidence. I mean, when we were watching that game, I wasn't frustrated that we don't have a guy behind Zach, or we didn't have a backup who could move the ball. We were moving the ball in the second half, and so that was exciting.
Yep. Well, Zach Caleros looked like Zach Caleros. We've barely talked about Zach here on the program. We talked a little bit before we went to air on Facebook Live, but he looked composed. He looked confident. He threw the ball well. You mentioned the early pick. I didn't get a good look at what went down there, but Getz, we would all agree, as long as Zach stays healthy, this team is in the mix in the CFL West.
For sure. I think that he's a really good competitor, and I think if we're able to, you know, protect him pretty well, which last night I thought that the O-line played pretty good when it came to protection. I think that he can definitely win football games for the Riders. So it's good to be making sure that he stays upright, and he'll take them.
He got folded up a couple times, though, last night. Not clean shots or anything, but every time he gets touched, I think we're all just, right? And that's not what you want, but that's what we have. So we'll see where it goes on a play-by-play basis throughout the season. So one of the beautiful things about the Rod Peterson Show is fan involvement here on Facebook Live. If you're watching every day with your morning coffee, 10 a.m. to noon. So let's go to the Facebook feed from Craig in Regina. Pack your bags, Watford. Coach even said we know what you can do or not. Harker and Ganji made good decisions and throws. That's from Craig. Sandra saying number two, Fajardo. Number three, Harker. Practice roster, Ganji and Watford released. If she was coaching, that's what she would do. My cousin Christine, watching from Medicine Hat. Great show. Love it. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. Hope you're doing well. Love you. From BK Graham. Good rainy morning to everybody. I think he's in Saskatoon. It's not raining here, right?
No.
Because I got Big Bird. I was leaving my house this morning, starting up my Jeep. I'm like, it's days like this that I bought Big Bird. If it's raining, that'll be a major damper on things for the rest of the day. Troy Koser, good morning, gentlemen. Great game last night. We got to keep McRoberts and Harker. Great talent for our future. Troy, saw your brother Drew Koser last night at the game having a good time. He was just a couple rows down in front of us, which, by the way, the attendance, I thought it was good. I went to go check the stat sheet on what the official attendance was, and I deleted it already from the CFL. Did you?
It said 28,000. I mean, there wasn't 28,000 people there.
Sure.
I think okay. It was that our friend Rob Vanstone had on his Twitter, and he's always pretty good on Twitter. He's like, 28,000, whatever is the announced attendance. He's like, I think there was 28,000 total limbs in the building.
Okay. Yeah, not even. Sorry. Can't
but
go
for
along
a preseason game, it was all right.
I want to say half full. From Norman on the Facebook feed, I'm so glad you enjoyed your pizza burger from Bond Burger. My wife was so pumped to tell me you came to the truck. They wouldn't take my money. You were standing there, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're taking it, take it. I stuffed it in the tip jar, but then they ran out of the truck and we visited for like half an hour.
Oh, it was amazing.
And they watch this show every single day. And if Bond Burger is busy somewhere getting ready for a lunch rush, they watch it at night. The Rod Peterson Show. So we're big fans of Bond Burger, and I hope Corey Sheets has finally paid his tab. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, they used to come outside the stadium for the following a game when Corey was going to buy the O-line their burgers.
Which he did.
He did.
...with the Corey Sheets one-on-one, where Corey talks about his time with the Rough Riders, his regrets of leaving the Rough Riders to sign in the NFL, and his struggles post-career, and his subsequent upward tick in life since dealing with those. That's 6 p.m. tonight. We got a sports update coming up. More with Chris Getzlaff. Jim Hopson is in the building, and he'll be on set as well. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, Music to build a better day.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Rod Peterson Show continues, Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com. Breaking news on this Friday morning, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Plaza of Honor Committee has officially announced Kerry Joseph and Neil Hughes will be going into the Plaza of Honor in 2019. That makes up the induction class, and the induction ceremony will be this August. And we'll talk more about that in a moment with our guest Chris Getzlaff, and Jim Hobson is in the building. He's got some thoughts on both those fellas as well. This morning's sports update, Bruins captain Zdeno Chara started with a face shield 48 hours after taking a puck to the jaw that inflicted a serious facial injury, but it's the Blues who won Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final 2-1 last night for a 3-2 series lead. Bruins fans littered the ice with debris and chanted obscenities after what they felt was a missed penalty call on Blues center Tyler Bozak just before David Perron's third period winner. They were littering the ice in Boston. What do they think? This is Regina?
Littering the ice and fighting up in the nosebleeds.
That's
Did you see that fan thing. Did you see the fight in the nosebleeds all over social
media? It's Boston. There's always fights in the crowd in Boston.
And it wasn't Blues fans and Boston fans. It was Boston fans and
fighting
Boston
each other.
Fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Veteran pitcher Edwin Jackson took full ownership for his poor performance since joining the Blue Jays almost a month ago. The righty has lost four of five starts since being acquired from the Oakland A's. The latest decision, a 6-2 defeat against the Yankees last night at Rogers Center. Jackson said postgame that he isn't getting the job done. Oh, and Golden State Warriors executive Mark Stevens has been handed a one-year ban and a $500,000 fine for shoving Toronto guard Kyle Lowry in Game 3 of the NBA Finals. Meanwhile, Warriors guard Klay Thompson is set to return from a left hamstring injury for Game 4 tonight. Raptors lead the series 2-1. Guys, a one-year ban, $500,000, I think, is a little excessive for what went on. But that's just me. What do you think? Did you see this? You saw the shove.
Yeah, I did. I think that is excessive, too. I mean, I just think it's based on his standing, obviously. You know, it can't be just some random person that's being docked $500,000 that'd be going to jail.
Right.
Yeah, no, for sure, because it's an owner. You don't want people who are involved in the teams to be doing that. If it's a regular fan, I don't think that happens. Right. I think but it's an owner. You want to make sure that you don't have people involved in the teams touching or pushing players. But for me, $500,000 in a whole year ban, I think that something was said.
Guy's an owner. Dress up a little bit.
Something had to have been said.
Didn't look like an owner, by
the
way.
You know what? That's true. I mean,
a golf shirt and Dockers.
Yeah.
At Game 3 of the NBA Finals. That reminded me of a Rams Huskies game a few years ago where a Huskies backer attacked one of the Rams players on the field. Do you remember that, Getz, at all? Do you remember that?
No. That's
Larry Mueller sent me the video because I... And the guy's name. So that happened in Saskatoon at a Huskies-Rams game. So shocking. I actually thought it was Dubé. I found out it wasn't Dubé.
Good.
It was another Husky alum backer. I have his name. So if you want to hear it, let me know on Facebook and we'll spill that out. So Kerry Joseph finally going into the Riders Plaza of Honor. It's been since what? Since he left. '08 he was gone.
Yeah.
He was gone. One in 2007. You won a Grey Cup with them, Getz. Your thoughts. And, of course, Neil Hughes. You played with them both going into the Plaza this year.
Yeah. I mean, congrats to both of them. Both great people. Obviously, got to play 1 year with Kerry Joseph. And he had a fantastic, phenomenal season. Obviously, winning the Grey Cup in 07, which was my rookie year. So, thankful for that. But Hughesy, played with Hughesy for years. I mean, nothing but a hard-nosed football player, really knows his stuff, could do everything, run, catch, hit, block. I mean, he's what you want to look for in a football player, and huge congrats to him.
Like you, Hughesy would have two rings, right, 07 and 2013. Not as big a role in 07 as he had in 2013, but I just remember that game where late in the fourth quarter, they're giving handoffs to Hughesy, and he's trucking. He's trying to get to the end zone, not first downs, get to the end zone. Like, what? Neil is an unsung hero. Like, talk about what he meant to that team.
Oh, for sure he's an unsung hero. I mean, any guy that is a special teams demon for a team is usually unsung. And, I mean, it's a huge part of the game. But not only that, he contributed huge on offense as well. So, you know, he's playing a specific role for the most part anytime he's getting in there. But, I mean, that Grey Cup game, he got several handoffs where he's just chipping out 10 yards at a time. I mean, he's a phenomenal running back. And, you know, he played the majority of his career as a fullback because he was such a great blocker and he's such a smart football player. But, I mean, I think that that's just the kind of guy that can do it all out there.
That's such a great time, right, with the fullback, with Hughes before that, Zarka, and when they would get carries and stuff. It was such an important role, and it's just gone now, so you kind of miss that in the game a little bit. And for Kerry Joseph, I mean, does he not, you know, go into the, you know, the Mount Rushmore of the Saskatchewan Roughriders? It was such a short time.
Well, I think so.
Such a short time.
Here we go.
That he was here.
Yeah.
But when you win a Grey Cup, you win a Most Outstanding Player. Not many guys do that. That's pretty rare.
Wow. That's a tough one. The Mount Rushmore of Rider quarterbacks. Jim Hobson loaded up. He's thinking already. I can see he's smiling over there. The four Grey Cups, four quarterbacks. Ronnie, Kent, Kerry, Darian. What's everybody? Kerry's going on that Mount Rushmore. The tougher one is coach. Eagle Keys, John Gregory, Ken Austin, Corey Chamberlain. Is that a tough decision or not? Does Ken Miller... There's no room, there's no fifth head on the Mount Rushmore, right? So,
yeah, I mean, that I think that's more of a difficult conversation there.
Coaches versus quarterbacks.
I think the way Corey Chamberlain left gets people thinking that, well, Ken Miller maybe would jump ahead. I don't think people would question Ken Austin. I know because he was so good when he was here. He came and we had, you know, the success that hadn't been there in a little while.
I'm putting Chamberlain on my Mount Rushmore of coaches. You'd have to agree.
I do. I agree. I mean, he came in the span of a couple of years, turned the team into a Grey Cup winning team. I mean,
well, time heals all wounds. I believe that. And John Gregory was fired 18 months after he won the Grey Cup in August of 1991. He was fired. Corey Chamberlain, September of 2014, he was fired. So like 19 months after. It was going into the Labor Day game that Corey Chamberlain was fired. But again, time heals all wounds. We forget why or how John Gregory left. He is revered around here. And the worm's starting to turn on Corey Chamberlain, and people are forgetting that he was fired here. And he's welcome back. As a matter of fact, when he came back with the Argos 2 years ago, I think it's all water under the bridge. And Getz, I mean, you were around through that whole period. Corey did an outstanding job.
Yeah, he did a great job. Like I said, turned the team around from 2011, which was a really rough year for the team. And, you know, not only that, it's always looked at that, oh, the coach isn't doing his job and that's why he gets fired. And it's rarely ever looked at that, well, we were, what, 8-1?
Oh, when he was fired? 0-9.
No. I know. I'm talking in 2014 before Darian gets hurt.
8-2.
8-2. Darian gets hurt. Plummet, right? I mean, quarterback is such a crucial position in the CFL. I mean, in the NFL too, but in the CFL that, you know, you have a major injury like that, you have to have someone in place that's going to be able to take the reins. And if that can't happen, it's hard to win football games, regardless of how the rest of the team is playing.
Just ask Mark Trestman. Won a Grey Cup. Doesn't have a quarterback, doesn't have Ricky Ray, and doesn't have a job.
Gets fired.
Yeah.
Right. That's why they make so much money. That's why they make the most money. It's the most important position on the field. All right, Clark telling me we're going to take a timeout. Don't forget the poll question today. You can vote on Twitter at Rod Peterson Show or our website, rodpeterson.com. Did Isaac Harker do enough to make the Rider roster last night in the preseason loss to the Bombers, 35-29? So far, last I saw, 100% saying yes. Dupes, you'll reconvene a little later.
We'll see
with
in a
us
bit.
When the sports doctor will be here, as well as Humboldt Broncos head coach and GM Scott Barney will be with us right on the set. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup Finals this year that was for the Humboldt Broncos with the Barn Dog running the program and looking ahead. And Arash Madani from Golden State, from Oakland, in advance of Game 4 of the NBA Finals. The Rod Peterson Show continues after this break. Jim Hobson up next on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards. Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Rod Peterson Show returns on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com. Thank you for wherever you may be tuning in or however you may be tuning in. You can listen live every day, 10 a.m. to noon at rodpeterson.com/listen live. Breaking news this morning, the Riders announcing going into the Plaza of Honor this year. And as a matter of fact, in August, it'll be Hall of Famers now, Kerry Joseph and Neil Hughes. So congratulations to both those guys, Grey Cup champions. Chris Getzlaff has been with us since we began the warm-up here today. We're pleased to be welcome. Well, speaking of Hall of Fames, going to the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, former Rider President and CEO Jim Hobson. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here. And just as you were sitting down, you said to Getz, great game last night. It was a 35-29 Bomber win, which nobody cares about the score, except for the Bombers. It was a good night.
It was a real good night. The offense showed some life, and Claris looked pretty solid. The young guy from Colorado looked really good. So I thought there was a lot of good signs. You know, the breakdowns that cost us two long touchdowns, I don't think those are going to happen in the regular season, or they won't happen very often. So it was a good night, even with the wind, you know.
It was a windy night.
It was a windy night, yeah.
Where did you watch the game from?
I was at the stadium in our seats, and, you know, it was actually a nice night, other than that wind was just howling. Huh?
Well, you were on the west side.
We're behind the Rider bench.
Yeah, know? Right. Yeah. Basically midfield almost.
Midfield, about 20 rows up, yeah.
Well, in the design of that stadium, by the way, because this was the first time since 1998 that I sat in the crowd. And back in 1998, I had a whole section to myself. I could stretch out over on the east side. Sorry, as you remember that. Tickets weren't hard to come by back then. So I moved all around. But has the wind been cut down like you had been told it would be by the designer IKS?
Significantly. Because the old place had howled. You know, it just came in there. It was like a wind tunnel. And that opening down in the southeast corner seems to help. And the prevailing winds, of course, come from the north. No, I think it's improved. I don't know what it's like on the field. You know, Chris, you would know a little better. But I was surprised how well the quarterbacks were throwing with that wind. It didn't seem to hurt them. The kicking game, of course, was impacted, but not in such a way that they weren't able to get the job done.
What is the effect down there?
It's great, actually. I mean, the wind, obviously the wind's the wind. If it's really going, you're going to feel it. But I think that the design of the stadium and being sunk down a little bit when you're actually at field level, I don't think it has as much of an effect on the passing game as it did at the previous field. I still think it obviously is going to affect the kicking game because the ball's getting way higher in the air, right?
Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks always say they'd rather have rain than wind. They hate the wind, right? I believe that's what they say. So anyways, I've asked you this a million times, Jim, but I like the answer, so I'll ask you again. Your expectations of that stadium far exceeded it, what it's turned out to be.
It turned out better than I hoped. I had high expectations, and I think they did a tremendous job with the design and the traffic flow. You know, there's really not many bad seats in that stadium. It's a good spot to watch a game. The concessions, just I love everything about it. And I think we are very lucky to have that facility.
Oh, there's no two ways about that. Well, actually, I want to ask you about the Plaza of Honor. I want to ask you about this year's team. But in your era, the decade of decadence, everything came together at once. I mean, you made the tough decisions right at the start that set us up for that. But as far as, you know, the resources in the province, the money, the economic boom, like how much do you spend thinking about that? And like, man, we're pretty fortunate.
You know, it's nice to do good things, but you got to be lucky. And we had a great run because of all the factors that surrounded the team, the boom in the province, you know, the energy, the economy, all that kind of thing. We couldn't build that stadium today. It wouldn't happen. And we knew that. We knew that the time was right. We had the support. We had the resources. And it put it together, and it's turned out to be a great decision. But right now, we'd be in the old stadium if we were waiting for good times.
Could you imagine?
No, and you know, I love the old stadium, though. I really did. But once we got into the new one, there was no doubt that we made the right decision.
How nice was it for you guys to have been able to play in that stadium before you shut her down?
I actually didn't get to play.
Well,
a game.
You practiced in it.
I practiced. I had several practices in that stadium, which was nice. I mean, you got to see the change of environment, and more so sharing the locker room. I really enjoyed sharing the locker room and all the amenities that it brings with the guys my last year there when I got to come back to the team.
Speaking of, so Rob Bagg got to play in that game as a Rider, in that stadium as a Rider. Weston Dressler got to play in it as a Bomber, but at least he got to play in it. Darian got to play in it as an Alouette. It did not go down the way the guys had always hoped. But, you know, Jim, you're active with the alumni now. I'm going to talk about former players. I'm not sure if Weston Dressler and Rob Bagg are former players yet. They're probably waiting for a call. I know Darian and Kevin Glenn are for a fact waiting for a call. It's Corey Sheets is going to talk about the interview when we posted tonight at 6 o'clock, how tough it was for him post-career to adjust to life after football. He tried to end his life, ended up institutionalized for 5 days. Chris, have you talked to those guys about, you know, is the end here? Is it near? How are they dealing with it? How did you deal with it?
Well, starting with myself, you know, I had a pretty good idea that I was going to retire during that last season. I thought that the off season was going to bring my retirement, and I was good with it. So when it kind of happened, it was just, you know, the next step, the next chapter. And I had already set up my post football career, which obviously plays a huge part. You know, if anytime that you end something like that and you don't know what's next, that's when the uncertainty comes along and you're feeling your purpose, your sense of purpose is kind of missed, right? And I think that can derail a lot of people, and probably in the case of Corey, right?
It did.
Yeah.
He'll admit it. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, for those other guys, yeah, I chat with Dress, I chat with Bag on the regular basis, and I know that Bag is giving her staying in shape, and I think that he can still play. I mean, when I came back to the Riders for the last couple of months, my last season there, he was running just as fast as he had ever, and the guy's a machine. I mean, he works out harder than anybody that I know. So, I mean, I think that he can still play. I think that he could still serve a purpose on a team, if not for his playing ability, for his leadership alone.
Do you think we'll see them again?
I think we'll see Bagger for sure. I think that's only a matter of time before someone reaches out and tries to pick him up at some point in this season. And Dress, we'll see. I think it's he's up in the air, and I know he has some other opportunities on the horizon that he may be taking advantage of yet. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I think that they're both content. When you get the opportunity to play the game as long as we all have, I think we've all have 11 years under our belt now. It's a little easier to transition. You know, when it gets taken away from you after 3, 4, 5 years, I think that makes it a lot more difficult.
Well, Jim, as I mentioned, you're active in the alumni now, and now it's new to me. I'm so new in dealing with ex-players. I never thought about this until you see it firsthand. You've seen it your whole career. How tough is that adjustment for guys when it's over? And it's not just players, right? It's coaches. It's anybody connected to the game.
It's hard. I think, you know, everybody handles it differently. I was very fortunate. I already had a second career going when I walked away, and so I poured myself into my education career and went back, got my master's, became a principal, you know, really channeled my energy in that direction, had a young family. So for me, it was hard. It took a couple years. I would actually dream about going back, you know, that I got a call, and I, you know, crazy stuff. But, yeah. You know, you really missed it. I missed it, and it wasn't practice, of course. You missed the game day. You missed, you know, you miss playing and the excitement of that. So, but some guys struggle, and I think I was fortunate in one way. I wasn't a star, you know. I knew that I could probably play a long time as a Canadian offensive lineman that could play multiple positions. But if you play 10, 11, 12 years and you're a starter and you're a star, you know, it's a pretty big deal. It's your life. And that transition can be hard. And a lot of guys think it's going to last forever. Even though they know it's not going to last forever, it's going to last forever, and it doesn't. So it's a struggle. I'm really happy when I see guys like Chris and Neil and others stay in the community. Wes Cates, you know, Andrew Green, stay, get a career, you know, get a family going, all that kind of stuff. So, but it's quite a ways down from being a star on the Saskatchewan Roughriders to, you know, going 8 to 5 work every
it's
day.
It's an average guy.
It's a big, big change, huh?
Yeah. For sure. I appreciate that. I just want to get to some Facebook comments here. That's one of the live beautiful things here. Every morning, 10 a.m. to noon, we can talk with our viewers. Andrew says, Jim Hobson is a great guy. Met him once or twice. He liked my Béliveau jersey. Go Riders. Andrew worked in the Riders store, so you'd remember him. He's quite a character. Jack Fulton, friend of the program. He is with the Stampeders. He's doing a little work with them like I'm doing with post-career guys. And he says, and then there's McMahon Stadium, when we talked about how great Mosaic is. Did you notice, Jim, I don't know if you're a Twitter guy or not, Getz is, but there's a new drawing in Calgary for a new McMahon Stadium, two hockey rinks, the biggest capacity, 6,500. I guess that's where the Hitmen would play. This is not a new Flames arena, but it's a revitalizing McMahon area, something like that. Did you see that this week?
No, I've heard about it, yeah.
What do you think is going to happen over there?
Something's got to happen. I mean, Calgary is one of Canada's major cities, and Alberta, you know, such a vibrant province. But, of course, they're in a heck of a slump right now. And I think it's going to be tough because of the economy. And if we can get a pipeline built, it could really turn things around. But, yeah, they need it. McMahon is what we had, you know. And in some ways, maybe not even as much as what we had, because we had actually done a lot of improvements to old Mosaic. But it's surprising when you look at that town and everything they've done, and they're still sitting with that stadium.
Good friend of ours watching the program this morning, Craig Smith. You guys remember old Smitty was the head scout on the 2013 Ryder Grey Cup team and worked with the BC Lions, won a Grey Cup there, and most recently with the Bombers. He writes in, dang, addicted to this show after only 5 episodes. Two great guests in Jim Hobson and Chris Getzlaff. Great at what they did, but better people. And that's why they're sitting here today. And I've invited Smitty to come in and talk some ball. He loves to talk. He loves to talk ball especially. And he's here in the Queen City. So Smitty, next week, let's book it and bring you in and talk as we get ready for week one of the CFL season. I guess I said we're going to get to the Plaza of Honor discussions, Jim. So you're in the Plaza. Getz is going to the Plaza. And as of this morning, we know that Kerry Joseph and Neil Hughes will go in August. So your thoughts on that announcement?
Great choices. To me, no-brainers. Kerry deserves to be there. I know there was debate about how long he played with the Riders and so on, but your comment about Mount Rushmore, I mean, there's 4 quarterbacks, and Kerry was just a huge part of our team in 07, and, you know, he put the team on his back, much like Darian did later and in the playoffs, and he's just a great guy, great leader. I'm very happy for him. And Neil, I followed Neil since he was a kid at Tom. I'm a Tom alumni, and he had an unbelievable career at Tom Collegiate as a running back. Another great career with the Rams, of course. And then my time with the Riders and his kind of coincided, and so I saw him around the team all the time, part of the team. Chris said, great special teams player, but I don't know if people really appreciated what a good athlete he was and the positions he could play. He's really good running back, good slot back, played tight end for us. He returned kicks. You know, if you look at his numbers for kickoff returns, I always thought he was one of those guys that if he got a chance, you know, different mindset on the coaching staff maybe, and said, okay, Neil, you're the guy. You know, I think that he had the kind of talent that he could have been like Andrew Harrison anyways. The guy was a good athlete, worked hard. Everybody loved him in the locker room. People think he's kind of quiet and shy, and he is a bit, but when you get to know him, he's quite a team guy and really well-liked. The thing I loved about Neil, though, was his commitment to his family, the Hughes family, the commitment to his wife and kids, and his commitment to community. He was one of the guys, like Getz. We needed a guy to go to Lac La Biche. I'm there for you, you know. And he spoke to kids. He speaks incredibly well and talks about the commitment it takes to be a pro athlete and that kind of thing. But he's just he's a great representative of Saskatchewan and the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
And do not forget, he was undrafted, right? Was Rob Bagg. So any young, because I know there's some kids this year, U Sports kids that didn't get drafted, and they're just so dejected. And it's like, guys, there's still an opportunity out there, right? What'd you go, fifth round, sixth round?
I went fifth round.
Round, and Bauman went number one overall, I think. And just when guys, they can't give up. And Neil didn't, when he didn't hear his name called.
Right. I mean, the opportunity's there. The CFL draft is not the be-all, end-all. I mean, you have opportunities to go out and showcase. There's various other camps and stuff that you can go and showcase your talents still at to give you an opportunity to either get to that draft or to show what you can do for teams to pick you up afterwards. Don't get discouraged. I mean, just put your nose to the grindstone.
I do want to talk about CFL 2.0, however, because there are roster spots taken up in training camps this year by European players, which would have been Canadian players. Get your thinking cap on, Jim. I know you already have, but you guys must have thoughts on CFL 2.0. We'll get to that next. Next hour's guests have arrived. By the way, the sports doctor from Winnipeg, our good friend Dave Patrician, Humboldt Broncos head coach and general manager Scott Barney, and we've got Arash Madani going to check in from Oakland ahead of game 4 of the NBA Finals. And get your comments going on Facebook. We're live this morning on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
We've had 3 major market corrections in the last year. We're looking at recessionary times ahead, not sure when. Very difficult to predict the markets right now, just with geopolitical issues down in the States and in China. And you got the 2 largest economies fighting and throwing tariffs at each other. So it's a really scary time in the markets.
Brian Baker, managing partner and investment fund advisor with 2020 Wealth Management, Investia Financial Services, Inc.
The markets go up and they go down. You're generally, over the course of the last 100 years, can expect 4 good years and 1 crappy year. The problem is how do you time it? It's almost impossible to time. And the last thing you want is a crappy year right before you take out your pension. The strategy is designed for people who are retiring. However, we also put it in a place for people who are 3 and 4 years from retirement.
Your investments matter. Talk to Brian or Jody today, your retirement income specialist at 2020 Wealth Management, Investia Financial Services, Inc. Visit yourinvestmentsmatter.ca.
Mutual fund products are provided through Investia Financial Services, Inc., and insurance products are provided through Custom Plan Financial.
Kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Rod Peterson Show continues, Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com for audio only. Go to my website and hit listen live. Sports update on this Friday morning. The Blues are a win away from their first Stanley Cup. David Perron scored in the third as St. Louis beat the Bruins 2-1 in Boston for a 3-2 series lead last night. Bruins fans littered the ice with debris and chanted obscenities after what they felt was a missed penalty call on Blues center Tyler Bozak just before Perron's goal. We're going to talk with Humboldt Broncos head coach and GM Scott Barney about that. Plus, the latest with his club and the SJ coming up next hour. But we're cheering for the Blues. We hope they ended at home at Game 6. And Bozy and Jaden Schwartz can bring the cup right in here this summer. Wouldn't that be great? Warriors guard Klay Thompson is set to return tonight from a left hamstring injury for Game 4 of the NBA Finals against the Raptors. Two-time reigning Finals MVP Kevin Durant remains out. However, Durant strained his right calf on May 8th in the Western Conference semifinals. The Raps looking to go up 3-1. In the series with a win tonight. Just ahead of our CFL 2.0 discussion, Jim Hobson, Chris Getzlaff in studio with us. John Payne passing this week, Jim. I don't know if you saw the photo in the Leader Post. It was of him and you. You obviously saw it. And the Payne family, I guess, provided that photo to the Leader Post. So people were asking, if Jim's coming on, can he give us a John Payne story, your head coach with the Riders?
I can. By the way, I had a lot of friends say that photo was Photoshopped because right. I looked good and I had hair.
You look lean, yeah.
But anyway, John was a great guy. He was very straight-laced, though, didn't swear. He could get upset, and when he got upset, he'd say, "Dad gum." That was the strongest thing he'd do.
Right.
he was kind of interesting because every game we could count on him at halftime to come over to our corner, because Ronnie was over there and George, and all it was smoker corner, all the guys, he'd come over and he'd bum a cigarette. Of course, this is the old days. You know, we're in the old Mosaic Theater Field, and guys would carry the cigarettes in their helmets when they got off the bus that went in there. So it was a different time, but he was a good guy. He took credit or took, you know, the blame for making some bad decisions in that Grey Cup game we lost. And he's a stand-up guy. I enjoyed him. And I think he lived here, too. He was here about 6 years, he and his family. And so they were part of the community, huh?
Yep. He was as Southern as it got, though, right? And just a tiny little guy.
Oklahoma. Yeah, and he was an offensive lineman in college. He was not a big man. But
that is old school.
little fire plug. Yeah.
I want to get both you guys' opinions on CFL 2.0. And I still believe, I know they're watching in CFL headquarters right now in Toronto, this will be the best show for the CFL, but we're not always going to agree with everything that they do. And I'm coming around on CFL 2.0. I just didn't like the European invasion into the Western League, but it's worked, you know, and it's certainly worked for the National Hockey League, the NBA, and all the rest. And that's the goal for Randy Ambrosi with the CFL. Jim, I'll start with you. Your take on this initiative.
I think it's a good initiative. I give Randy credit. One of our challenges, I think, in the CFL over the last few years is we haven't reached out enough to new Canadians and you know, made the tent bigger. You know, you look at the Raptor fans, and you know, it's a multicultural. It's just very diverse, and we don't see that as much in the CFL. And I think it's important that we need to identify and bring in new fans, new Canadians, and so on to be part of it. And I think Randy is trying to do something that will create that interest, create that buzz, grow the game. Like a lot of us just don't realize how much interest there is in places like Mexico and Europe in football. And you know, I talked to Kenny Miller. Kenny went over and coached in Italy for a couple years.
He's a big fan of it.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. He said these guys are all, you know, working and practicing at night and so on. But still, it's something we have to do. We've got to find a way to grow the game outside of the traditional you know, ways that we've done it in the past. So I give him credit for that. And you know, hopefully this is going to pay some dividends.
What do you think, Getz?
I agree, actually. I think that it's a great way to try to expand our market. I mean, when you're reaching out and you're getting a fan base, I mean, it's obviously going to start probably pretty small, but I think that that's something that can grow at an exponential rate. So I think the biggest thing is that I don't want to see it detract from the Canadian talent. I mean, because there was a small talk about that maybe
you had some strong thoughts on the ratio. Yeah,
I definitely do have strong thoughts on the ratio, and we'll see how the new rule kind of takes effect this season, if, whether or not they are able to grasp the American going in for a Canadian when right. they have years of experience.
So in the new collective bargaining agreement, there's one exempt spot on the roster for a global player. And my the only problem is, for me, when the Europeans came over to the NHL in 1988, Sergei Makarov, I think, scored 42 goals. He was the rookie of the year. It was a seamless transition with European players. They were good enough. I don't think these European players are good enough. That's the difference in the CFL right now. Like Max Zimmerman, I was watching him when I went to training camp, watched him last week in Calgary, tried to watch him last night. He played only special teams. Like, Jim, the talent level isn't even. That's the only issue that I have.
No, I agree with you. It's going to be a while. They need exposure. They need opportunity. But I'm like Chris when it comes to Canadian content. I really was disappointed when they started talking about dropping the ratio. Chris, played a long time in the league, and he can tell you that at a certain point, the players, forget who's a Canadian and who's American. You're a player, and either you can play or you can't play. And a lot of the Americans come up, they don't really understand the ratio thing, and they look at Getz and say, he's a football player, and if you can play, you can play. So I think we need that opportunity. We need those role models. We need that opportunity to move from college into the pros here, and our greatest heroes in Saskatchewan are Canadians in many ways. Roger Alladay, Gene Mikowski, and on and on. And, of course, Ronnie and George. But, Ronnie played as a Canadian. I don't have a problem with that. You play up here for a number of years, same team, give you that opportunity, keeps you in the community. I can live with that. But I just don't understand why we feel like we have to get more Americans in order to be better.
Isn't that the new CBA too? If you play 4 years now, you count as a Canadian.
Yeah.
What do you think about
3 years with the same team or 4 years in the CFL?
So what do you think about that?
I think it's I like aspects of it. I mean, the whole replacement part of it, I think, is going to bring a lot of gray area when it comes to the game. I mean, is the Canadian hurt that now that they're bringing in this American replacement during the game?
Exactly.
I just think it opens the door for teams to take advantage of that rule in their minds that they're putting a better player on the field.
Hey, we got 2 minutes left. Clark's telling me in this segment with you, Getz. So your brother, of course, you're watching the Anaheim Ducks real closely. They're looking for a coach, are they not?
Or did I they believe hire? They're on the look for a coach.
Yeah, so the Ducks. Talk to me about the Ducks. How are they going to be next year? And how's your brother doing?
Brother's doing great. Loving the offseason with the family. I mean, obviously, it was a tough year. They went through multiple injuries, and I think that they just made the coaching decision a lot too late because they played pretty well after that. But when it comes to the team, I think that they're going to be fine. They got some young talent that's coming up. I mean, Steele himself, he looked pretty good when he got his opportunity. And Max Jones, he's another real young speedster who's mixing it up out there. So I think the team's going to be pretty good. They have a stud goaltender. It's just going to be interesting what happens with, Perry or Kessler going forward. I mean, I don't know if Kessler's truly over, his surgeries and whatnot. So we'll see what happens with that. And, Perry's been a question mark for a few years. So hopefully he's either able to turn it around or they go a different direction if they can and bring in some other guys.
That's my question. Is the window still open or is it closing a little bit? Because it's been some good times in Anaheim.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still open, mainly because they do have a lot of young talent that is there. I mean, your goalie's right in the prime. I mean, he's, 22, 23, and playing phenomenal. So, and they got a pretty good young defensive core still. So I'm not looking at their defensive core and being like, oh, that guy's a stud. But they got a lot of guys that are above average. So when you can have that many guys out there that are above average playing, generally a good thing.
All right. Thanks for the hockey talk, Getz. Thanks for popping in. And please don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. All right. I really appreciate you having me.
All right. Hoppy, you sticking around for a little bit? Or you got to roll?
I can, but I got to get going in a bit.
Yeah. Okay. We'll sort that out in the break. Scott Barney coming up of the Humboldt Broncos and Dave Patrician, the sports doctor from Winnipeg. He is the parade marshal of the Grey Cup Parade in Winnipeg in late November. They're already planning it. It's the Rod Peterson Show. We'll be right back on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com. Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms.